flowers blooming just for me. It seems that everything's going right. Bluebirds sing my favorite song. Everybody sing along. How fine that no one can hide their smile. Wonderfully lovely, lucky to say.
Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. The music you're hearing is that of 16-year-old Gracie Schramm, who's been on quite the ride of late, singing national anthems before huge crowds at sporting events all over town, as well as performing before the big TEDxKC event. She has some new music out. In fact, what you're hearing right now is the debut single from her latest album. It's Yellow Shoes, available on iTunes, and Gracie Schramm joins us here in the studio this morning, and so nice to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
You sound just great.
Thanks.
How do you like listening to yourself on the headphones?
I like it. It's really fun. It's always fun to have my song on the radio. It's kind of surreal, actually.
I bet it is. Well, how big a deal is this for you releasing your debut single, Gracie?
It was a really big deal to release it for me because I've had so much music ready, and to finally be able to share something and put something out that I'm really proud of and to release the music video with it was so exciting, and It was awesome to get all the feedback.
Well, I was going to say, just from reading your blog, it sounded like you have been waiting a while to get to this point. I sensed, just reading between the lines, that you were really eager to get here, and by George, you're here now.
Absolutely. I was ready for sure to start releasing something and kind of get going, but
what took so long? Is it just all the technical stuff, or what was it?
The music business is very slow moving, which I've learned. You got to have patience.
Yeah.
And still, like, even now, like, trying to find the correct partner and all of it takes a long time, and recording it and making sure you have the best songs and figuring out who you're going to work with, who the producer is, all of it. It's a lot of logistics, and it takes a lot of time.
But you would think with all the new fancy technology we
have
these days that in your generation, you guys want to move fast, but it's not moving fast, you're saying.
No, it's not. You definitely have to slow down, and that's something that I have to tell myself over and over and over because I'm ready to go out there and do it. I'm like, let's go. But you definitely have to slow down for sure.
Well, you mentioned getting the right people, and I wanted to mention that you've got a pretty big name to help with the production of this disc, and that's a man named Charlie Peacock, best known for his work with the Civil Wars and other groups, and I really like the Civil Wars. Mm-hmm. What was it like to work with a guy like Charlie Peacock? And tell me a little more about him.
Charlie Peacock was amazing. He was seriously the perfect fit for me to make this record. We were on such the same page with where we were going with the music and what the sound was. He is amazing. He has his studio in this place called The Art House, which is like this old church building.
Where is it?
Nashville, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned this church into his studio and his house. It looks like Narnia. I'm not even kidding. You walk down this like curvy path with like twinkle lights and through his garden. It's a magic place. So just getting to record there was amazing. And then I was able to make a record that I'm super proud of, and I love the way that it sounds. I love the way my vocal sounds. I love the production and the instruments he used on it, and I just feel so lucky that I got to work with Charlie. He's amazing.
I mean, did Charlie bring new things, new sounds to it, or was he just simply reinforcing what you already had in your mind, Gracie, that you wanted to do?
I think he was really reinforcing what I had in my mind, because he was able to take the songs and just kind of put production around them, but my goal was never to have it be like overproduced or sound different than it did. I just wanted it to be like just represents the songs and who I am mm-hmm. through the music, and I think that he did that.
Is he an older man?
Yes, yeah, he's like, I think 50 something.
So he's like old. He's like,
I mean,
nasty,
not like
old.
Not like old.
You're talking to a 50-year-old girlfriend, so be careful here.
Yeah, he's not old.
Yeah. And what was it like meeting him, and what was that first meeting like where you talked about what you wanted to do and maybe what thoughts he might have had?
Well, I met him in February, 2 years ago? Yeah, 2 years ago in February. And I thought I was just going to get to meet him and kind of get to learn from his wisdom and just kind of talk to him. And I went to the art house and started talking to him.
Were you nervous?
He's very quiet, so kind of a little. You have to get used to that. He's all about, like, silence, and he's not a small talker at all. So it's a lot of silence, but I think it's refreshing after you get used to it. But
he's no nonsense. He's right to the point.
No, no nonsense. Mm-hmm. Not at all, which is, it's good. And so I started talking to him, and I played some of my songs, and I played my song Heart Remaker, which is off of the new record.
And right there to him, just
yeah,
you and he
just
and the...
my mm-hmm. guitar and him, and he was like, oh, I really like that one. He said, will you go hop in the studio? So I just play the song, me and my guitar, two times through. And I thought he would send some kind of little demo. And the next day, he sent over a fully produced track and said, I want to make your record, which is never the way that it happens. But that's how he asked me to make my record. He asked me as opposed to me asking him, which is unheard of.
And what did you think at that point? 16-year-old Gracie Schramm, yeah. What was that like for you?
It was crazy because it was the first time I heard my music in a recording form where I was like, yes, this is exactly what I want it to sound like. This is where I want to go. And so that was really, really exciting to have something that I'm like, this is it. This is what I want to sound like. This is who I am as an artist, and this is what I want to be.
Hey, how did you even get a meeting with Charlie Peacock, Gracie, given his track record of working with these really well-known
yes.
groups? How did that happen?
My manager used to be Nick Beret, and he actually moved to Nashville to work for Charlie Peacock. That's the reason he got into music at all, was to go there and work for Charlie, just because he was such a huge fan of his music and everything about him. And so he had never taken an artist to Charlie, but after working with me for a couple months, he told me, he was like, you should get introduced to Charlie. You should meet him, because I think you guys would work together really well. And the crazy thing was, Nick was not the first person that said, you should meet Charlie. Tons of people in all different areas of my life were saying, you really should meet Charlie Peacock, for like years. Like, one of our artist friends from Birmingham said, you should meet Charlie. And one of my opera coaches said, you should meet Charlie. Tons of people from, like, not even in music that were saying, you really need to meet Charlie Peacock. And so it kind of just all aligned, and it was the right time, and it worked out when I met him.
We're visiting with 16-year-old Gracie Schramm from Leawood, a singing sensation, about her new disc and a whole lot more here. Talk to us a little bit about Yellow Shoes, the track that we just heard to open the show, because the video that goes with it suggests that these yellow shoes have a little magic attached to them.
I think that the yellow shoes actually have magic. It's kind of the craziest thing. Obviously, I don't get to have flowers bloom when I walk around me. But,
which is what the video shows.
Which is what the video shows.
Yeah.
But every time I wear my yellow shoes, two or three people will stop me and say, oh my gosh, I love their shoes. And they'll just be doing their own thing, kind of just walking around, and then it will make them smile when they see my shoes every time. Like, no matter where I am, no matter if I'm at school, at the store, anywhere, someone will stop me every time I wear my yellow shoes. I'm wearing them today, and already two people have told me, I love your yellow shoes.
Well, you are wearing those. And it's not lost on me, or probably anybody, that you are from Kansas, and
yes.
we're talking shoes, and ruby red slippers come to mind, and everything else, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. You're 16 years old, and the links on your websites, you know, show you singing the national anthem, you know, at Kauffman Stadium and the new Sporting KC Park. How nervous do you get singing a song before such a huge crowd like you would have found at Kauffman Stadium?
Honestly, I didn't really get very nervous at all, which is kind of weird and crazy, but
You don't seem nervous now,
no,
and I'm just sort of floored by that.
I've never really got nervous, which is a huge, huge blessing that has not been the way I am. But I started doing music and performing for crowds of like 2,000 people or 5,000 people when I was 10. So that's kind of, I started out with like huge crowds. So I never really thought anything of it, and it never made me nervous. So it still really doesn't, which, as long as I'm prepared and I know what I'm doing, I feel,
you're okay.
Yeah, I'm okay.
You just roll.
Yes.
And here you are sitting talking to me and like not a thing. Well, there's that, you know, line in the Star Spangled Banner at the end of the song where you've got to hit that high note.
Yes.
Can you feel that note coming as you're working your way through the song?
Oh, it's a hard song, but I will
it
not
is a
lie.
Hard song.
The national anthem is a difficult song to sing. That is for sure. And I think just in singing it more and more often, it's becoming a little bit easier, but it's a hard song, and I have to make sure that I warm up my voice and that I have plenty of water and that I'm ready, because that high note is high. So I have to not be talking before, but that's all just preparation. So it's important to be prepared to sing the national anthem, because you got to make sure you can hit that high note at the end.
So if you were talking to Francis Scott Key, you might sit him down and say, hey, dude, what were you thinking with that note at the end of that song?
Yeah, I mean.
There have been legions of singers who have suffered as a result of how he wrote that song.
Absolutely. That song, it's a hard one for sure.
Yeah. My producer is pointing out to me that he didn't write the music. It was just the words. So it's somebody else.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to play another track of yours. This one is called Wallflower. And then I want to ask you about the lyrics to this song. Again, this is Gracie Schramm, her new song, Wallflower.
I stand alone on the outside of expectation. Your eyes might lie and tell you I'm trying to blend in. Oh no, my roots grow down deep in this place where I'm standing. Oh, I can feel the sun right here.
Nice. That's Gracie Schramm singing Wallflower. It's part of a new limited edition EP that's out now. And you have an album coming out pretty soon too, right? A disc.
Yes, I do.
When's it out?
It is out in the next couple months. It's kind of dependent on if I end up choosing to work with a label or release it independently. But it's called I Am Me, and I'm really excited about it.
Well, I was playing some of your music last night in my office getting ready for the show. My wife walked by and she said, "Who is that? Who is that?" She just lit right up. I bet you hear that a lot these
days. That's really awesome.
Yeah, it's great. You know, your bio, I want to talk about Wallflower, the song we just heard, because The bio on your website says this about you, Gracie. You could walk right by Gracie Schramm at a crowded party and not notice her, and that's partly by design. I'm a wallflower, Gracie says. You might miss me if you're not looking. And those became lyrics in the song we just heard. Are you okay being a wallflower, or do you wish that things were somehow a little bit different?
I would say I'm okay being wallflower. Yeah. I'm okay. I am definitely not that person who is in the spotlight or center of attention at school, which I think a lot of people are surprised by that. Because
I was going to say, you're sort of headed that way, aren't you?
I do spend a lot of time on the stage. And so I think a lot of people think, oh, since she's up there, she must be this really popular kid at school. But really, that's not the case. And high school is hard. And the fact that I'm traveling so much and disconnected from it means that sometimes I am that person that doesn't always have somebody to talk to. And yeah. I have some good girlfriends, but they don't necessarily go to my school. So I won't lie and say, like, some of it is hard that I travel so much and that I'm kind of not in that real high school experience. So a lot of the times I am kind of a wallflower.
How do you handle that, not being connected like that and sort of tuning in, tuning out as much as you are as you go about your other part of your life now, which involves so much music?
It's a balance for sure, because I'm out of town at least a week a month in Nashville, and then other time going and playing shows. So I go and I spend a lot of time with adults, and I'm in that world of business, and it's like a job. And then I come back to school and am in the high school with a bunch of crazy teenagers and drama-filled girls and all this stuff. And so it's kind of weird jumping back and forth between those two worlds. And I don't know that I even have it totally figured out now. It's something really strange, but it's something that I've kind of gotten used to, is the fact that I do flip back and forth a lot.
What do your friends say to you, Gracie, about all this music and singing the national anthem and discs and fancy producers and all this? What do they say to you about it?
I think some of my friends are really encouraging and come to shows, and then other people are like, don't care, or are like, don't want to hear me talk about all my music.
So are they jealous?
It's kind of. I don't even know if it's jealousy or what it is, but some people are not as supportive, which is okay. Not everyone's going to like my music. Not everyone's going to be my biggest fan, but it is important for me to find people that I know that I can count on as a friend and supporter of my music, but also just a supporter of who I am, and not even like me because of the music, but just like me as a person.
Mm-hmm. Where do you want to be someday?
What's
the dream?
The dream is to have a really big career. I think I could. I think that these songs have something really important to say. I got into music as a fundraiser, and social justice is such a huge part of why I do this. And so I would like to build a big platform so that I can tell people about what's going on in Haiti and what's going on in Africa, and also encourage people through my songs and allow them to lift them up or make them feel like they're not alone, or just give them a smile.
You know, Haiti and Africa are very important things, but you're 16. Why do you care about Haiti and Africa?
I've kind of always been that way. In the same way that I've always been a singer, I've always been that very empathetic person. When I was four, I talked about this at TEDx. When I was four, I was watching Sesame Street, and it was the special on this little girl in Africa, and I was watching her brush her teeth with her finger and sweep the floor of her dirt house. And I was about to turn five and have my birthday party with all my friends, and I told my parents, I want to send all of my presents to that little girl in Africa because she doesn't have any toys to play with.
Wow.
And so I've kind of always been that way, and I started a whole keep year, give year for every birthday party. So now in my family, you keep your presents 1 year, and the next year you give them away to whatever charity. And a lot of my friends and my sister's friends and brother's friends do that now too. But it's kind of been something that I've always felt really passionate about and cared about ever since I was little.
Have you been there to Haiti or Africa?
Yes.
Really?
I have an orphanage.
Well, what haven't you done yet, young lady? You've done everything already.
Not quite. There's a lot of things. But I went to Haiti to see the orphanage. There's an orphanage that I built there where 24 boys live. And I went the last two summers. The first summer I went with my dad and we got to meet those boys and go to a bunch of different orphanages in Haiti and just play with the kids. And then this summer I led a trip there with 8 teenagers and 3 dads. So it was a lot of my friends and my brother's best friend.
Wow.
And we all went and had the most incredible trip. That place is amazing. And I absolutely adore those people and love getting to hang out with those kids and learn from them. And you go there thinking, oh, I'm going to help them. I'm going to do this stuff for them. But really, every time I leave feeling so helped and encouraged by them just in the way that they live their lives. They are like the happiest and most joy-filled people you'll ever meet and most generous, even though they have nothing. And they just want to hold your hand and play with you and just hang out. They're just like kids here. And it's an amazing, amazing trip. If you ever have the chance to go to a place like that, I would go.
You know, a lot of folks, again, we're visiting with 16-year-old Gracie Schramm, a singer from Leawood with a new album out, all kinds of projects going on. A lot of people would say that 16 these days is pretty tough. It's tough to be 16. Is it tough to be 16 for you?
I think in some ways it is really tough, and in some ways it's really fun.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're trying to balance being a teenager, and so that means you have more freedom. You're starting to drive a car and all this stuff. And then also it's like you're still living with your parents. It's not like you're an adult yet. You're not 18. So it's hard to balance that. And high school is kind of hard too. It's like by junior year, you're taking really challenging classes. And then
it's
you're
a
also,
hard year.
Yeah, you're also
it's
trying
the hardest
to,
year, right?
I think it probably is because you're trying to take ACTs and figure out what you're going to do in your future and where you're going to go to college and all of that stuff. And then involved with that and school, you have all of the drama and the stress of everything that goes along with that. So I would say for me, 16 is sometimes really, really hard. And I'm like, oh, this is like just having a bad day, but you're going to have that no matter how old you are. But it's also, it's really fun and exciting that I get to be doing all this music stuff and traveling. And the summer was crazy. I was not even in town for a week straight the entire summer. Craziness going all over, but it was lots and lots of fun adventures.
You know, the singing in your family, does mom sing? She's singing here, sitting here in the studio with you. Does mom do this? Does your dad do it? Or where does this come from?
They do
life?
Not. Neither of my parents sing or play any instruments.
Not even backup mom?
Nothing.
Nothing like that,
nothing,
eh?
Nothing. Yeah. And which is always funny. Lots of people ask, like, oh, does your mom sing or does your dad sing? And they don't. I got my voice from my Aunt Becky, but she doesn't write songs. So it's kind of been me. Yes.
Yeah. And she just, you think she passed it on here?
Yeah. She didn't start singing until high school. So I started singing since I could talk and started writing songs at 7. So I'm really one of the only musical people in my family, but my younger brother, Cooper, is in theater and loves musicals, and my little sister, Lucy, sings too.
Yeah. You know, excuse my ignorance about physiology and stuff and biology, but you know, boys' voices change as we get older. We all go through that thing. Has your voice changed much, or has it sort of been what it is? Are you worried it's going to change?
My voice changed a lot between, I made my first CD when I was 10 and a second when I was 12. It changed a lot between when I was 10 and when I was 12, which it usually does, like from like a little kid, like high voice to more like growing into your own. And I will say, like, I can notice, like, if I'm listening back to a work tape or something that I recorded a couple months ago, I'll notice like little changes, but I've kind of settled in. I don't expect it changing drastically again.
Yeah. You said on your website that you're into a boy band these days. They're called Anthem Lights. I've never heard of them. What should I know?
Anthem Lights is, they're some of my good friends. And
are
they're
they?
In Nashville. And they are a Christian band. And they also, but they're really known as a cover band. So they make all these covers of pop songs and they do lots of mashups and put them on YouTube. And they have like 200,000 subscribers on YouTube. It's insane.
Wow.
Like tons of people are looking at their videos. And so they had me come sing on their Covers Part 3 record for an Avicii mashup of Hey Brother and Wake Me Up. So that was really fun just to get to hang out with them and be a part of it.
Yeah. I bet they're cute. They look like they're cute.
They're funny, yes.
Yeah. Well, I don't sing, but if you ever need a backup singer, I'd come sing backup on one of your albums.
All right, awesome.
That would be a kick. Where can folks get some of your music?
You can buy my first single, Yellow Shoes, on iTunes.
Right.
And watch the video on YouTube. And then you can also go to my website, gracieschram.com. GRACIESCHRAM.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go and buy the limited edition EP, which has some of the songs that are going to be on the new record. And then you can come out to a show and see what I'm
selling
there.
When's your next show?
My next show, I actually have a show tonight at Hotel Phillips.
Okay.
Which
downtown.
Is in downtown Kansas City.
Yeah.
And I'm there the next 3 Fridays. So I'm kind of doing an artist in residency thing, and I play for like 2.5 hours. So you get to hear a lot of my.
Are you by yourself?
I have my friend Cutter Gage come and play with me. He plays mandolin and sings background vocals and plays guitar. So he's with me too. We're both playing instruments. And I play for like 2.5 hours. So you can hear lots and lots of my new songs and the songs off the record and some covers. So,
well, we'll put a link to your website and
yes.
how to buy this on our website, kcur.org, so people can connect. And I'm going to go out with another one of your songs, We Are the Change. What's this one about?
This one is really the song that kind of sums up my whole story and why I do music. It's really just a song to encourage people that you don't have to wait for your neighbor or your coworker or your friend to get up and do something. Each and every one of us can do something, big or small, to make the world just a little bit better. And that's what it says in the song.
I really enjoyed having you.
Thank you so much
for
having me.
Come back anytime, Gracie.
Will do.
That's Gracie Schramm. This song is We Are the Change.
To hold what I've been given, give it away and make a difference where I can. But I've seen so much need, I stood paralyzed. I thought that it must be done by someone else, somebody.